I didn't know we were going that enthusiastic.
Zero. What? Yeah, three, two, one.
I was going to say like three, happy new year.
That is not how anyone says happy new year.
Well, I wasn't going to do it like it was an actual countdown because you're right. It's going out on the second.
I don't give a crap now. I'm committed. Okay, ready?
Three, two, one.
Happy New Season! Get it? Happy New Season.
You tricked me there.
I did trick you.
That was harsh.
Happy New Season. We are back.
Yeah.
Season two of I'll Tell You What.
I'll Tell You What made it all the way to 2021.
It sure did.
So did we.
Hopefully. Recording this before it goes out, so we'll see. Yes, hello and welcome. Or welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And we're very excited to bring you this episode.
Season two.
Season two.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't annoyed each other enough on season
we
one.
We got our first like official fan email.
I know, and I love
I'm
it.
I'm V excited about it. We will be doing episodes about it because she made some suggestions. I need to ask her if we are allowed to use her name or whatnot.
Yeah.
Or her email. Not email address, but you know, the email she sent us.
Yes.
I have to ask her before we do that. But she gave us some suggestions and we plan on taking them. Very excited. This is not, however, over that. But we will get into this in just a minute. I just want to, before we get started, just talk about, I don't know, what's going on in your life?
Oh gosh, okay, that's a lot.
That's too much. Okay. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Ashlyn?
My New Year's resolution. I'm already working on the New Year's resolution, and it's not even the New Year's yet. We're recording this. It's called doing and keeping my job.
Wow.
I got hired.
Wow, you were so loud, so close to the microphone. Congratulations on your new job.
Yes,
we will
I'm
not
very excited.
Discuss what it is.
That's fine. It doesn't really
just kidding. Secret, very hush hush.
I'm just
There's
making money and
clearance.
I'm very happy with it.
There is a security.
No,
clearance.
There isn't. Stop lying to people.
Yes, Ashlyn's in the mob now.
I am the mob.
Get out
the
of
entire
here.
Mob.
Josh is watching The Sopranos like 5 feet away and he's very
That looks like the dad from Good Luck Charlie.
No, that's Tony Soprano. Anywho, my New Year's resolution, just like every other year, is just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't set up any expectations for myself. Therefore, I cannot disappoint myself or anyone else. It's been working out for me pretty well.
I was going to make a joke about being the family disappointment, but you're really not.
I'm not the family disappointment.
Stop looking at me like that.
I was looking at you like that because we all know who that is, okay? And you know who it is too, and it's not
I know,
you.
But it's funnier if it's if you're it's ragging Oliver. On me. Anyway,
it's Oliver.
Oliver is the favorite. What are you talking about?
He does not keep Ernest keep, okay?
I know
he just yells at us for food all the time and then scratches us.
But he's still the favorite.
Okay. That's enough banter. I'm sure for the weeks to come we will discuss fun things that happened in our month off.
That is true.
Like the many episodes I did not write like I said I was
Same.
Going to. All the work in preparation
but in
I did
defense,
not do. We have made it to 4K listens and
yes.
plays and downloads and all that. I'm very excited about that. Very, very excited. Your last episode, our 50th episode, shot up to number 2 of our all-time most popular episodes.
I know.
Bonkers.
I'd like to thank Michael.
A little salty because my episode, like right before it, Jazz Hands and Axeman's, what I think is a very, very clever title, is being completely overshadowed by the success of you and Michael's episode. I think it's really Michael, though. You know,
it really might be Michael. He was a phenomenal guest.
But if you haven't listened to it yet, please go and check out our season one finale or check out entirely season one. You know, we talk about things canonically, you know, in our lives throughout it. So I don't
Did
know.
You just say canonically?
I don't know what that word means.
That's like what happens in like a like universe. Like if you're talking about something that happens in a story or something, like say Back to the Future. You'd say, oh, that's what happens in canon versus like fanon, which is like what the fans project onto it.
Well, I mean, it does have to do with everything happening canonically within our lives. So I wasn't exactly wrong, but I meant like sequentially.
It's usually used with fictional stories.
If you watch it in... watch it? Why am I saying watch it? This is a podcast. If you listen to this podcast in order, our lives may make more sense to you, but you really don't have to listen to them in order.
Just know that we're awfully a lot like a cult for not being a cult.
Unless it's a two-parter, which my Ted Bundy episode is a two-parter. But besides that, everything else is pretty free-willing. So in lieu of all that, I'll tell you what.
What did you tell me?
The Zodiac Killer! A big break!
Bum, bum.
Yes, so Ashlyn brought to my attention that there was recently a really big break in one of the most infamous unsolved serial killers of all time.
Yep.
The Zodiac Killer.
And I read the article and then I completely forgot it. So this is going to be a fun...
That works out.
A fun thing for me.
So before we get into the big new news regarding the Zodiac Killer, we're going to dive into what we already know and have known for all these years. Anywho... background. The first attacks were made December 20th, 1968. So many years ago, in the 60s, David Faraday, he was 17, and Betty Lou Jensen, 16, were parked in a gravel parking area along remote Lake Herman Road on the eastern outskirts of Vallejo, California. So it was really late. It was around 11:15 p.m., an unknown assailant approached the vehicle and fired multiple shots inside. Unwarranted, just out of the blue, didn't say a word. Betty Lou managed to flee the car, but David, in an attempt to exit through Betty Lou's door after she got out, was shot. David was shot once in the back of the head at point-blank range and died short thereafter. Yeah. Betty Lou was then gunned down and being shot five times in the back, died instantly. The weapon was a .22 caliber semi-automatic pistol. There were no witnesses. And the really sad fact is this was the first date that Betty Lou had ever been permitted to go on. Isn't that so sad?
I don't like that.
I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
I know, you do that.
Our next attack came on Saturday, July 4th, 1969. Michael Magoo, 19, and Darlene Farron, 22, were parked alone in the parking lot of Blue Rock Springs Park on the outskirts of Vallejo, California. I'm probably saying Vallejo wrong. Let me know. Allegedly, they were parked there to talk. Darlene was actually married to Dean Farron, and they had at least one daughter that I found in my research. So Darlene worked at Terry's restaurant as a waitress, and Michael Magoo was a laborer. And at around 12:10 a.m., while they were parked in the car, possibly a light brown Ford Mustang or a Chevrolet Corvair. A light brown car, sedan, basically, pulled into the parking lot just a few feet from the couple, which is really weird because it's an empty parking lot really late at night. Like, why are you here?
Yeah. Sketchy.
Yeah. So a man with a flashlight got out of the car and approached them. The couple thought it may have been a police officer, so they had their identifications ready. And then, without warning, the man began firing.
Ooh.
Once he was done, he began walking back to his car, and that's when Michael yelped in pain, and the man, in turn, shot them both one more time. So Darlene was shot a total of five times. Michael was shot four times. Michael ended up surviving the attack and claimed he had gotten a look at the killer. Now, despite being shot in the face, neck, and chest, according to ZodiacKiller.com, Michael gave a detailed description. Quote, the man was white, 5'8 to 5'9, late 20s to early 30s, stocky build, round face, and brown hair. And another source said that Michael described the attacker as 26 to 30 years old, 195 to 200 pounds, or possibly even more, 5'8", white male with short, light brown, curly hair. So basically stocky, tall-ish, kind of average height guy, a little taller than average height guy with brown hair, and he was white.
Okay, so an average guy.
So literally the average serial killer description.
Yikes.
July 5th, 1969, at 12:40 a.m., around 45 minutes after he attacked, the attacks, the police received a phone call from someone claiming to be the murderer. The caller also took credit for the murders of Jensen and Faraday 6.5 months earlier. So police traced the call to a phone booth at a gas station. During the call, he correctly identified the weapon used, which was a 9mm. And he also claimed credit for the Faraday and Jensen murders that happened the previous December, like I just said.
Yes.
So I repeated things in my notes. Anywho, for a few weeks, the investigators heard nothing else and had nothing to go on. But then, the letters.
Oh, yes.
So then, on July 30th or August 1st, there are conflicting accounts in my research. 1969, literally a day apart, though. Right. The letters were sent to three different newspapers, the Vallejo Times-Herald, the San Francisco Examiner, and the San Francisco Chronicle.
San Francisco.
I can't say San Francisco, apparently. The writer of the letters claimed to be the killer of Faraday, Jensen, and Farron. They also included details that only the killer could have known. And each letter contained one third of a cipher that, if solved, supposedly claimed to contain the killer's identity. The letters were described by a psychiatrist to have been written by, quote, someone you would expect to be brooding and isolated.
Wow.
The killer demanded they be printed on each paper's front page or he would curse. Oh, no, not curse. Sorry. Or he would, quote, cruise around all weekend killing lone people in the night, then move on to killing again until I end up with a dozen people over the weekend, end quote. So the Chronicle ended up publishing it, its third of the cryptogram, on page 4 of the next day's edition. There was an article printed alongside the code that quoted the Vallejo Police Chief Jack E. Stiltz as saying, quote, we are not satisfied that the letter was written by the murderer.
Which, of course, is going to make sure that they're, you know, all nice and incensed and enraged.
Well, the killer. Well, yes. But yeah, they're like, we're not so sure that this actually was the killer. And requested that the sender send a second letter with more facts to prove his identity.
I mean, shoot your shot,
Shoot your shot. I mean, they did that with Dennis.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make a joke about him killing people with a shotgun anyway.
No, I was saying Dennis Radner.
Or not shotgun. I'm sorry, pistol.
Dennis Radner.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
BTK. That's
that makes sense.
They literally were like, no, we can't trace your floppy disk. Stupid. We already covered that in one of our previous episodes.
She has not actually covered Dennis Radner in...
I feel no need. I feel we only need to discuss how stupidly he got caught. So
fair.
Because he's so stupid. But back to the Zodiac Killer. So they were not satisfied they weren't convinced that the letter was written by the murderer. So they requested for a second letter with more facts to prove his identity. Mm-hmm. Josh, that is so distracting. He can't hear me with his headphones on. I'm going to have to just ignore it. Those AirPods really doing the work out here.
Oh no, he can't hear us. He's got his AirPods in. Oh no.
How did you hear that?
What?
Stop shaking your hand.
He's trying to get his steps up.
He really is. He's cheating. Anywho, so they requested a second letter to prove his identity, which is funny to me. I'm sorry. They were just like, we're not really convinced that this is the murderer. Maybe you should tell us who you are.
Yeah, just so we can be certain.
Just so we can be certain. Then all three parts were eventually published and the threatened murders did not happen. So then on August 7th, 1969, just a few days later, another letter was received at the San Francisco Examiner. It began, "Dear editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. This was the first time the killer had used this name for identification." Mm-hmm. The letter was in response to Chief Stiltz's request for more details that would prove that he really did kill Faraday, Jensen, and Farron and all them. In it, the Zodiac included details about the murders, which had not been released to the public, as well as a message to the police that when they cracked his code, quote unquote, they will have me.
Huh.
Yeah. So basically he was like, here's some more details. I'm not going to tell you who I am, but here's some more little details that no one else could know. Clearly it's me. And yeah. Once you crack my code, oh yeah, you're totally going to get me.
See, the one thing I've never got, like, I've never understood is, like, why he chose the name Zodiac.
It actually has to do with some of the symbols he used on stuff. Yeah, it's very strange.
I mean, I saw the movie, of course.
Sorry, there's a lot of
which showed
interference here.
Of course, I can't even be certain that the movie actually showed, you know, the actual cryptogram.
Yeah, sorry, there's a lot of
the cipher. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of movement. I hurt my hip the way I was sitting. So after the letter was published on July, or not published, received on July 7th, soon after on July, not July, why am I saying July? August 7th, soon after on August 8th, Donald N. Betty Hardin of Salinas, California, cracked the 408 symbol cryptogram. So it contained a misspelled message in which the killer seemed to reference The Most Dangerous Crime, which I believe is a book. Is it a movie or a book?
I would assume it'd be a book, but I have no idea.
I really should have done more research about that. But
that's one of the coolest things, though, about, you know, this entire thing. I mean, granted, it's murder and it's gruesome, but like the people, like the everyday people
it's the fact that everyday people went in and were like, oh, we can help crack the code. Because at the time, they didn't necessarily have all these analysts sitting around waiting to crack these codes. And so, I mean, it's kind of good that the people satisfied the guy's needs for attention, just in the fact that they could try to help. The general public could try to help.
That's what I like to focus on about this, is like how the general public like was actively trying to help. And granted, it probably was up some person's alley. I mean, I like a good cipher myself.
Oh, yeah. Well, and these are some of the most hard ciphers in the world to crack.
Exactly.
So
partially because, it was misspelled.
Yes. So in the cipher, he said he was collecting slaves for the afterlife, very similar to in my last episode of The Axeman in New Orleans.
So you should, like, listen to that episode.
So you should probably go listen to that episode, episode 49. Anywho, so he said he was collecting slaves for the afterlife, which is, okay, weirdo. However, no name appears in the decoded text, so he didn't, he said he, oh, so, blah, blah, blah. However, no name appears in the decoded text, and the killer said that he would not give away his identity because it would slow down or stop his slave collection.
Gross.
Yes.
I don't like that. Also boring. We've heard it before.
Right. So after these initial killings, I mean, not killings. So after these initial letters, back to the killing.
Gross.
Yes. After those first few letters, the Zodiac killer fell silent for a little over a month. Until September 27th, 1969, when Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd, students at Pacific Union College, were picnicking at Lake Berryessa in Napa Valley, California. So while they were picnicking, they were approached by a white male standing about 5 feet 11 inches, about 170 pounds, with combed greasy brown hair, wearing a black executioner-type hood with clip-on sunglasses over the eye holes and a bib-like device on his chest that had a white 3x3-inch cross-circle symbol on it. So the classic Zodiac killer symbol that we all know today. With him, he had a gun, which Hartnell believed to be a .45 caliber. The hooded man claimed to be an escaped convict from a jail with a two-word name in either Colorado or Montana. A police officer later implied that he'd probably been referring to a jail in Deer Lodge, Montana, but that I cannot confirm or deny what jail it was. So where he had supposedly, at this jail, killed a guard and subsequently stolen a car, going on to explain that how he now needed their car and money to go to Mexico, as the vehicle he had been driving was, quote-unquote, too hot. With him,
a likely story.
It's very strange. With him, he had brought pre-cut lengths of plastic clothesline, and he told Shepard to tie up Hartnell.
No.
The killer then checked the bonds that Shepard had tied and tightened Hartnell's bonds after discovering Cecilia Shepard had bound Brian's hands, like, really loose because she was trying to be sly.
Yeah. And
good on her, but unfortunately he caught that. So Brian originally believed this whole thing to just be some weird, bizarre robbery. He was like, okay, this guy just wants our car. We're going to be fine. But then the man drew a knife and then stabbed them repeatedly.
Yep.
Brian Hartnell was stabbed 6 times and Cecilia Shepard received 10 wounds in the process. The killer then hiked 500 yards back to Knoxville Road, drew the cross circle symbol on Hartnell's car door with a black felt tip pen, and then wrote beneath it, /Vallejo/12-20-68/7-4/69/September 27-69-630/by knife, end quote. That's a lot of words.
Yes.
But it's what he wrote, okay?
I'm mad about it.
He basically gave dates. He gave all the dates of the slayings, basically. He gave December 20th, 68, July 4th, July 4th, 69, and September 27th, 69.
Yeah, sorry.
At 6:30.
I'm still getting upset about the murder part.
I know.
I don't like
then, it. Like the attack before, the killer called the police at 7:40 p.m. So he called the police again. The killer once again called from a payphone, and the caller slash killer first stated to the operator that he wished to, quote, report a murder, and then said, no, a double murder, before stating that he was responsible for the crimes.
Of course, because he's a petty person who needs all the attention.
Yeah. So the phone was found still off the hook minutes later by the Napa car at the Napa car wash where the paper was, only a few blocks from the sheriff's office.
Because it was, a jerk.
However, 27 miles from the crime scene.
Yeah, so this is him trying to flex because he's a petty little anyway.
Stupid. Detectives were able to lift a still wet palm print from the telephone, but they've never been able to match it to any suspect.
Still wet palm print.
I don't know why it was wet. I didn't know if it was wet with blood or water or what. So just
I would be
still wet. Sweat maybe.
I don't know.
Either way,
just the phrasing. Still wet.
That's
palm print.
What the thing said, okay? It's what the internet told me.
Very gross.
So back to our victims. Initially, Celia actually survived the attack and called the attention of a father and son who were fishing nearby by screaming. She was still conscious when officers arrived and provided them with a detailed account of the attacker. But unfortunately, she fell into a coma and died 2 days later in the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, she was stabbed 10 times.
Yeah. Brian, however, ended up recovering from his injuries.
That's good.
So Brian survived. And
is
traumatized for life, but has also backed up the description that Cecilia gave.
Yeah.
So. About 2 weeks later, on October 11th, 1969, a white male passenger entered a cab driven by Paul Stein, one block from Union Square in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The man requested to be taken to Washington and Maple Street in Presidio Heights. For reasons unknown, Stive drove one past... One block, sorry. For reasons unknown, Stein drove one block past Maple Street to Cherry Street. So I don't know if he just like missed his, you know, stop or whatever, but he drove up a block past Maple.
Oop.
Then, however, the passenger shot Stein once in the back of the head with a 9mm. He then took off.
Jerk.
And with him, he took Stein's wallet and car keys and, for some reason, tore up a piece of Stein's bloodstained shirt.
Gross.
This attack, however, was different for one very obvious reason. There were witnesses.
Yeah. a lot.
So there was, yeah, there was a lot of witnesses. There were three teenagers across the street at 9:55 p.m. who ended up calling the police while the crime was actually in process, like progress.
Mm-hmm.
They saw a man wiping the cab down before walking away towards Presidio.
So, you know, super suspicious.
Yeah. Also, two blocks from the crime scene, two patrol officers who were responding to the call observed a white man walking along the sidewalk east of Jackson Street and stepping away onto a stairway leading up to the front yard of one of the homes on the north side of the street.
Well, yeah, and see, the weirdest thing about this is that this is the first thing, or the first time that he hasn't committed these, like, in a secluded area.
No, exactly. This was just in the open.
Yeah.
Why? What?
Yeah, because, like, all of the others were, like, off the beaten path, you know?
Exactly. The people alone at night in, like, secluded areas. Like,
right. Well, the like stabbing took place lane. During like, the day. But
well,
yeah,
but like a lover's lane scenario kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Very creepy, like, bleh.
Yeah.
But
all of those urban legends. But
this one was just blatantly out in the open with a normal time of night. It was only 9:55 p.m. Like,
mm-hmm.
there are going to be people out in San Francisco at 9:55 p.m. Even in the 60s.
Yeah. Even in, you know, like what I imagine would be like a neighborhood.
Yeah. So these officers described him as a white male around 35 to 45 years old, about 5'10",
mm-hmm.
with a crew cut. This was similar to the teenagers' descriptions, but slightly older than what they said. They right. described the killer as a 25 to 30 year old man with a crew cut. He was also described as white, 5'8" to 5'9"-ish tall.
Okay, but what, like, teenager do you know that can actually accurately describe what an age looks like?
Or a height. I mean, it's night. It's 9:55 p.m.
Good on you guys for calling the cops, though.
But, like, seriously. What's really messed up, though, is the ditch... What's really messed up is that the dispatcher, royally messed up and told the officers to be on the lookout for a black suspect. So the officers who were responding drove past the killer without stopping.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. Yeah. The teenagers called, said, yeah, this 5'9", you know, 5'10", or 5'8", 5'9", white guy, 25 to 30-ish years old, the crew cut, just stabbed a guy. And the guy said, okay, look out for a black man.
That sounds
almost
pointedly racist. I'm sorry.
I mean, I hope they got fired. Sorry.
Especially because
I don't want people saying that's an honest mistake. Yeah. It's not an honest mistake. This man just shot someone.
I know. And you cannot
be doing
witnesses.
That. You had three witnesses probably very clearly tell you what this guy looked like. And you just messed up so badly.
I know. Like, okay.
So bad.
I tend to forget things, you know, immediately after someone tells me half the time. But that's also why I don't have that kind of a job. Like, if you're going to mess up like that, you cannot do that.
Oh, my gosh. So,
jeez.
It upsets me so much. So this was actually the last officially confirmed murder by the Zodiac Killer. And so
how did they confirm that that one was the Zodiac Killer?
I have no idea, but it's like, confirmed that it's. Oh, I think it actually has to do with.
Oh, okay.
What I'm bringing up. I don't know. It
me.
Just is.
that part's always confused me. Like I knew about it, but I.
The Zodiac writes again. So more letters from the Zodiac began to come on October 14th, 1969. So just days after this last murder occurred.
Mm-hmm.
The Chronicle received another letter from the Zodiac, this time containing a swatch from Paul Stein's shirt tail as proof that he was the killer. So that's how.
That is how.
He had the swatch
from
the guy's
shirt. That's right, I forgot that part.
Yeah.
Sorry, my knowledge of this is coming from the movie.
So, yes, it also included a threat about killing school children on a school bus.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
To do this, the Zodiac wrote, quote, just shoot out the front tire and then pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out, end quote. That is sick.
Yeah, I don't like
Why
that.
Why would you ever say that? Like, that's not even your M.O.,
It's seriously just to get a rise out of people.
That's gross.
Like, granted, it definitely got a rise out of me, but, like, yeah. it's because it's effective, and it really is just him trying to say it to get a reaction, because he's that petty, attention-seeking little weirdo.
So, moving on, as annoying as it is. Then at 2 p.m. on October 20th, 1969, someone claiming to be the Zodiac called the Oakland Police Department, and they demanded that one of two prominent lawyers, F. Lee Bailey or Melvin Belly, it's a very strange last name, appeared on AM, that they were to appear on AM San Francisco, a talk show on KGO-TV hosted by Jim Dunbar. So Bailey was not available at the time, but Belly did appear on the show. Dunbar appealed to the viewers to keep the lines open, like, do not call in, we're waiting for this guy to call. Eventually, someone claiming to be the Zodiac called several times and claimed his name was Sam. Melvin Billy actually agreed to meet him in Daly City, but no one ever arrived. So that could have just been some stranger, some weirdo.
Some crank caller.
Throwing off the investigation. It's, you know, completely just because they want to know.
They think it's funny or whatever.
People do that all the time and it's really messed up. Don't do that.
Again, attention seeking. Mm-hmm.
So next, on November 8th, 1969, the Zodiac mailed a card with another cryptogram consisting of 340 characters. This cipher is dubbed Z340. And it remained unsolved for over 51 years. Now, this is why I'm covering this case at this time. Because normally I could cover the Zodiac Killer any old time. It's an unsolved case. Hoota wada wada. However, on December 5th, 2020.
What? That was recent.
That was like a few days ago. Like a month ago. But we were on
earlier holidays. This month.
So, earlier this month that we're recording.
Oh, right. Because
an international team of private citizens, including David or... I can't pronounce these names. Ornshock? I'm going with Ornshock? David Ornshock. Yeah. Including David Ornshock, a software engineer from the U.S., Sam Blake, a mathematician from Australia, and is that Jarl?
Probably Jarl. Van.
It's from
Eyck.
Oh, it's from Belgium. So I'm going to go Jarl van Eyck, a computer programmer from Belgium. They cracked the Z340 cipher. So the team submitted their findings to the FBI, who verified their discovery. The cipher reads, quote, "I hope you are having lots of fun trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show. Which brings up a point about me. I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner. Because I now have enough slaves to work for me, where everyone else has nothing when they reach paradise. So, they are afraid of death. I am not afraid because I know that my new life will be an easy one in paradise death."
Haven't we heard that one before, too?
Very similar to the Axeman of New Orleans.
Boring. Sorry.
Not original. And so I will include this text with no alterations from my source on our social media posts. For this episode, I will note that the author, once again, misspelled paradise several times. And I'm not sure if it was on purpose or if it was because he was an idiot.
Unfortunately,
I cannot call him a complete idiot because he was able to write these incredibly cryptic ciphers that have taken literal decades to solve.
Well, no, and I'm 90% sure he would have intentionally misspelled it because it becomes that much more difficult to crack a cipher when
if
you're
misspelled. It's smart.
When you're equating like certain
That's the upsetting
symbols
part.
To letters.
That's the really upsetting part. Is like unlike with Ted Bundy and like BTK and stuff. We can't really call this guy stupid.
I mean, I feel like you kind of can because in reality, anyone can come up with their own kind of cipher.
I know, but like one that takes literal decades to solve.
I don't think he necessarily intended for it to take that long to solve.
I don't think he did either because he wanted
the attention
to have fun and no one solved it. And then he probably was for decades going.
Because like, oops. Honestly, with this one, I'm pretty sure he wanted to be caught at that point because he's like, I've had my fun and now I want everyone to look at me and remember my name.
Yeah.
But now no one knows his name ever.
So
I feel like that's kind of a bit of justice right there, but probably not. Yeah.
The FBI stated that the decoded message gave no further clues to the identity of the Zodiac. So we were all super excited, going, oh my gosh, they finally solved the last cipher. We're going to find him. Mm-hmm. And there was absolutely no clue.
It's just the Axeman of New Orleans.
It's just the Axeman of New Orleans letter rewritten. It's very annoying.
I know.
So there were also many other attacks and murders that people want to contribute to the Zodiac Killer, but none of them are currently confirmed to actually be victims. Mm. So for the sake of time, I will skip over those parts and head right on to everyone's favorite section. Wild speculation.
Yay!
Now, some of these aren't wild speculation. These were like actual actual suspects, but I love some good wild speculation. We will get so who do we think done it? Let's start with the not so obvious and head into the into what we are all thinking, shall we?
Fine.
We're not going to start with the obvious, okay? First off, we have Ross Sullivan. He became a person of interest through the possible link between the Zodiac Killer and the murders of Miss Cheryl Jo Bates in Riverside, one of the many crimes that are possibly related to the Zodiac Killer, but not confirmed. Ross Sullivan was a library assistant in River City College and was suspected by coworkers because he had apparently gone missing for several days after the murder. Yeah.
Weird.
Sullivan also resembled sketches of the Zodiac, and he wore military-style boots with footprints like those found at Lake Berryessa. Sullivan also had been hospitalized multiple times for bipolar disorder and schizophrenia.
Ooh. Yikes.
Yes. So our next victim. Our next suspect is Ted Kaczynski.
Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Yes. So our next suspect is Ted Kaczynski, who is also known as the Unabomber. He was investigated for possible connections to the Zodiac Killer case in 1996. So Ted Kaczynski worked in North California at the time of the Zodiac murders. And like the Zodiac, had an interest in cryptography and threatened the press into publishing his communications.
But like,
however, Kaczynski was ruled out by both FBI and SFPD based on fingerprint and handwriting comparison and by his absence from California on certain dates known of known Zodiac activity.
And see, the thing is, if he was a Zodiac killer, I feel like he would have
taken credit for it.
I feel like he would have, you know, signed things the Zodiac killer instead of the Unabomber, you know?
Well, maybe he was like, I just like consolidate, spread it out, you know?
That's terrible.
No. Yeah. But also, his fingerprint didn't match, nor did his handwriting match. Yeah. So, and he wasn't in California during certain key dates.
Yeah, you know, like when murders happened.
Yeah, like when the murders happened. So, next, we have a member of the Manson family cult in here.
Of
Bruce
course.
Bruce Davis.
God, Bruce so Davis, much wild stuff going on around that time.
Jeez. 60s and 70s, man.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Wildin', okay. Oh, yeah. He was a member of Charles Manson's Manson family cult. Gross. And a convicted murderer.
Yes, of course.
He was suspected of the crimes. However, there was no real evidence linking him to the Zodiac murders. And in 1970, a report by the California Bureau of Criminal Identification and Investigation stated that all male members of the Manson family had been investigated and eliminated as suspects of Zodiac.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, it makes sense also because most of the Manson family cult members were stupid.
Well, so the thing is with the Manson family cult as well is I don't think that they would have done that simply because of their whole beliefs.
People. Yeah, they wanted to kill big people.
Well, famous, they wanted to start Helter Skelter, which would have been like a whole race war thing. None of the victims were of color. Mm-hmm. The cab driver of color?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I didn't see a
but
picture.
Yeah, and more than that, they also basically thought of Charles Manson as like a god.
It's creepy.
So they wouldn't have been trying to pull these attentions away from him.
Yeah, not on their own.
They were very much a cult.
So next up, we have retired police detective Steve Hoddle. He puts his own father into the ring. You may recognize this name. Hoddle argues in the book The Black Dahlia Avenger that his father, George Hoddle, or Hodel, how you want to pronounce it, is probably Hodel, was the Black Dahlia killer. whose victims include Elizabeth Short.
Yes.
The book led to the release of previously suppressed files and wire recordings by the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office of his father, which showed that the elder, Hodel, had indeed been the prime suspect in Short's murder. However, this is not a podcast about that. We will cover that someday.
You better cover that. That District is interesting.
District Attorney Steve Kay subsequently wrote a letter, which is published in the revised edition, stating that if George Hodel were still alive, that he could be prosecuted for the crimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We'll get into that someday.
But also, that retired detective? Yeah. Putting his own father on blast. I am here for it.
And then in a follow-up book, why I bring this up, because that's the Black Dahlia. That has nothing to do with
this.
In a follow-up book, Hodel argued a circumstantial case that his father was also the Zodiac Killer based upon a police sketch, the similarity of the style of the Zodiac's letters to the Black Dahlia Avengers' letters, and a questioned document examination.
Okay, but the thing is, this is what I mean by, like, he was a very average-looking dude, because
I will get into that in just a minute. Anyway. So, next we have, in February of 2014, it was reported that Louis Joseph Myers had confessed to a friend in 2001 that he, in fact, was the Zodiac Killer.
Of course.
After learning that he was dying from cirrhosis of the liver, he requested that his friend, Randy Kenny, go to the police upon his death. Myers died in 2002, and Kenny allegedly had difficulties getting officers to cooperate and take his claims seriously.
Duh.
Yeah. There are several potential connections between Myers and the Zodiac case, actually. Myers attended the same high schools as victims David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. And allegedly worked in the same restaurant as victim Darlene Farron.
Hmm.
And furthermore, during the 1971-1973 period when no Zodiac letters were received, Myers was stationed overseas with the military.
Weird.
Kenny says that Myers confessed that he targeted couples because he had had a bad breakup with a girlfriend. And while officers associated with the case are skeptical, they believe the story is credible enough to investigate if Kenny could produce credible evidence.
I'm just... The girlfriend part threw me. I'm sorry. I'm just
Once
like...
Once again, you can't kill people just because someone broke up with you.
I'm just like...
How many times do we have to tell people that?
I get annoyed enough with, like, incels on the internet, like, let alone people who do this.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. So, I have been...
So, Ashlyn... The time has come.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now for the true Zodiac Killer. The one we all know, Ted Cruz. On March
14th. That's still my favorite meme. So, I have no reason.
On March 14th, 2013, at Take It DD tweeted hashtag CPAC alert. Ted Cruz is speaking! ! His speech is titled, "This is the Zodiac Speaking."
Oh, no.
With no other context. Then, and that's truly apparently where the meme started. But then on Wednesday, October 31st in 2018, Senator Ted Cruz made a little Halloween joke where he tweeted a coded message patterned after the Zodiac. He was trying to display that he had a sense of humor. Because he had recently had bad publicity.
I mean, the thing is actually the fact that he leaned into it really did show that he had a good sense of humor.
He was trying, well, because recently everybody was like, "Ted Cruz, maybe he's a bad person." So he was like, "I know, I'm going to write a crypt just in the exact same style as the Zodiac Killer and post it on Twitter." That's for beautiful. Halloween.
And honestly, he would have been a better candidate than the one we wound up with.
Except he's Canadian. He's actively Canadian. Like, how was he on the ballot? Yeah. He's Canadian. Just learned that.
Well, hang on. Was he born in the U.S., though?
No, he was born in Canada.
Ted Cruz, honey, you can't do that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know why nobody, like, realized that. So, anyway, why do we think Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer?
Well, you just gave us really good proof there.
That's really great proof. Well, he fits a lot of the stereotypical serial killer traits. People don't like him.
He's
He's a loner. Shush. He is ostracized by his peers. Aww. And on social media. And he does look a bit like the sketch of the Zodiac Killer himself. However, unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, Ted Cruz could not possibly be the Zodiac Killer because he wasn't even born until 1970. The first murders took place in 1968. I hate to burst everyone's bubble. However, before we wrap this up, something else I wanted to bring up. When I looked at the sketch of the rendering of the Zodiac Killer, my immediate thought, that is D.B. Cooper. They look identical. So once again, I'll also post this on social media, a side by side, because it is uncanny. They literally look the same. So they also, my reasonings, I'll show you a picture in just a second. My reasonings. They operated around the same time. D.B. Cooper happened after Zodiac. They also have similar descriptions. And if the D.B. Cooper case happened just a few years after the initial Zodiac case, he would have, in fact, been a little older. So the Zodiac is described repeatedly as 5'8 to 5'11. D.B. Cooper was estimated about a 6'1, but Zodiac was always seen in extenuating circumstances, like at night, or, you know, blurred through being shot in the face and stuff like that. So, or stabbed 10 times.
In your back.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Or seen, you know, running from a car. So he could appear shorter if he was like hunched or anything like that.
Right.
So could have been taller than 5'8, 5'9, 5'10. Both were described to be around 170 pounds or more. The Zodiac was described as being in his late 20s all the way to his early 40s. D.B. Cooper was said to be in his 40s. The Zodiac is described as having greasy, dark brown hair. D.B. Cooper is said to have dark brown to black hair.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is the Zodiac Killer and D.B. Cooper could have been one of the same. Neither have ever been found.
Do you want me to poke holes in the theory or like?
I refuse to let you because look at this. That is the same person.
It's a very average looking man.
It is the same person. Look at the lips, the eyes, the nose. That is the same person. The hairline.
That's a very average looking man. I passed like 10 guys looking like that a day.
That is the same person. The same person. Let me have this. They look the same. Josh agreed. Josh, do these look like the same people? No, I pointed out first. You just happened to say it. No, you didn't. No, you said it exact the same time that I said it. Anywho.
Anyway.
They look the same.
They're both working off of police sketches from witnesses. Like, come on.
They are the same. I'm convinced the Zodiac Killer and D.B. Cooper are actually like, the same people.
The way they acted.
I rest my case.
The way they acted, definitely not the same.
Excuse me? D.B. Cooper was composed.
D.B. Cooper never actually killed anyone.
On his plane, the one incident that you know about.
And there would have been plenty of options to choose from. Also, a lot of witnesses. Also, there's a lot there that it doesn't really make sense. I'm sorry.
The whole thing makes sense. I have more evidence than you do. I'm sorry to break it to you, but the Zodiac Killer is D.B. Cooper. They are one of the same.
Oh, geez.
Anywho, I rest my case. So that's all. No, I'm just kidding.
So have you seen the movie Zodiac?
I have seen the movie Zodiac. I am also convinced that Jake Gyllenhaal is the Zodiac Killer.
See, that's actually okay. That's consistently one of the things I love about the movie is that
anybody could have. Yeah,
anyone could have been.
No, but
the fact that
I hate Jake Gyllenhaal.
I know.
And let me go on a small rant about why I hate Jake Gyllenhaal. He has dead eyes. Dead eyes. That's all I ever say.
Know.
He
I'm
has
sorry.
Dead eyes. I do not think he is a convincing actor because he has dead eyes, but I do not believe any role that he's in that is not a killer. He's very convincing as a serial killer, okay? Like, if any celebrity
so how
ever...
So is he in Spider-Man Far From Home?
Very convincing as the villain. Very convincing.
I know, because he does come across as...
He has dead eyes. He's like, hi, I'm a snake in the grass because I have no emotion
eyes.
I have no soul.
I'll kind of agree with the eyes thing, but I don't necessarily think that it's an evil thing. Like,
no,
in his
but he
case,
has dead eyes. I'm saying what
very
I'm saying
unsettling.
Is,
I will give you that.
He has dead eyes, and if any celebrity was ever just found out to be a serial killer, it would be Jake Gyllenhaal. That's all I'm saying is.
Anyway.
I'll tell you what, Ashlyn. Jake Gyllenhaal has dead eyes.
I feel like that actually might have made him like a good pick for that role, though.
Oh, yeah. Any villain, really, just like deceitful. I mean, not villain, but like deceit. Well, it is villain when you're deceitful, but like, you know what I mean?
It's not always
a two-faced moment, you know, or unhinged.
Well, and the thing is that his character was supposed to seem very unsettling.
Oh, he almost was.
And I love that about the film.
It's a great movie.
I could geek out about the film all the time. But that's
so if you like Spider-Man Far From Home, email, no, I'm just kidding. If you also believe that the Zodiac Killer and D.B. Cooper are the same person, feel free to message us.
And if you want to help me explain to Miranda why she's wrong.
No. Or if you have any suggestions or anything like that, feel free to email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You could also visit our Instagram at matterthanacaterpillar.
We have that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. I post on there sometimes.
Yeah.
For you.
Oh. It's been a busy past few weeks. If you want to get in touch with us, I personally am a little bit more active on Twitter, so you can tweet at us or slide into our
Except
DMs.
Except for I've been the one tweeting for
at
the
Madder Than a Cat. Look, I've been busy, okay?
Last 3 days. Also, we have our Facebook page at I'll tell you what, no, ITW what, the podcast. I forgot what it is. I think it's ITYW podcast on Facebook.
Miranda's really good at these exiting announcements.
We're
out of practice, apparently.
I'm gonna look that up real quick. I forgot what our
we don't remember
Facebook
our own social media.
Could you load? That'd be great.
We also, in the meantime, we do have a TikTok as well, at Madder Than a Caterpillar. Miranda posts some funny things on there. I keep meaning to and then completely forgetting, so sorry about that. But yeah, you should check that out.
Oh yeah, it's at, our Facebook is at ITYW Podcast. I was right.
There we go.
Yep.
And she's probably still mad about the ellipses, but.
I am very mad about the ellipses. but that's just if you type in, I'll tell you what, we don't have ellipses. But if you type in at ITYW Podcast, that is us on the Facebook. We also have our TikTok, which is, I'll tell you what.
Miranda, they dropped the from the Facebook like a while ago. Have you not seen The Social Network? Come on.
I wasn't even paying attention to what I just said.
You
so I was
said
very,
on the Facebook.
Yes, I am with it. I am hip. Just like the Home Depot.
She has pronounced everything in this podcast correctly all the time. First try.
Yes. Always on the first try. I definitely didn't say San Francisco instead of San Francisco. That did not happen.
And she definitely knows who Ted Kaczynski is.
Yeah. Well, seeing as I wrote the Unabomber right afterwards. I just, you know, those weird names look all weird. Anywho.
My name's Ashlyn. That's
Gaelic. That's different than like
what
European. Well, I meant like
no one buy me again.
I meant like Nordic.
That's different than English.
I meant Nordic. I meant Nordic. I said European. I'm tired. It's been a long week. So with that, we'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the Zodiac Killer through a cryptic message that you left in your closet. And good night.
I don't remember what our ending music sounds like. You should layer the music like right over that.
Oh yeah,
to see how it matches up.
My beautiful I'm I am conservatory trained, thank you.
I know you are.